Hello and welcome to the Currency Exchange, NatWest Markets FX podcast, where we help to break down the major themes and events driving currency markets this week and in the weeks ahead. Today I'm joined by Alvaro Vivanco, who is our head of ESG and emerging market strategy here at NatWest. Alvaro, I want to get your latest thoughts on EM because it's been a while since we've had an emerging market update. What are you thinking about as kind of the driving factor of emerging markets at the moment?
Thank you, Imer. Hello to everybody. Yes, it's been a few weeks since we've done this on EM. And I wanted to point out a new publication we put out about 2 weeks ago that takes a look at what have been the drivers, not only now, but going back to the pre-COVID era for emerging markets. And what we find, and it's kind of interesting, is that we're essentially back to where we were before the pandemic, back in 2019, in which the dollar trend and US rates are by far the most important driver for emerging markets. So it's a very different environment than the last couple of years, in which was more about the alpha generating part of emerging markets, more about growth, more about domestic factors. It is essentially, and you can kind of feel the way emerging markets, and to be honest, kind of risky assets have been trading over the last couple of months, right? And that is all about the expectations about the Fed at the end of the day, right? Because these are driving the interest rate differentials between currencies, and as a result, a lot of inflows or lack of inflows into emerging markets. So we do a lot of a statistical analysis to show this in a few interesting ways. And then the question becomes, when is this going to shift? When is EM going back to being more about EM? And that's actually the title of our report. And then we go through a discussion of, you know, the fact that carry in EM has been declining for the last few months as more EM central banks have been cutting rates. The growth picture has been kind of uninspiring for emerging markets as a whole, but there are a couple of good stories. So there are some kind of beginnings of, you know, a return to more idiosyncratic factors, more, you know, alpha generating trades. But we think that for the next few months, and especially as we get into the final initiation of the easing by the Fed, I think the day-to-day drivers is still going to be about, you know, what happened to global rates and what happens to US rates in particular. So that puts us in a position where, you know, it's kind of frustrating, right? Because we want to kind of move away from that discussion and start looking at things that are probably structurally more interesting and to some extent more difficult to answer than, you know, is the Fed going to go next month or are they going to wait a couple of months? But I think we're stuck in that environment and we have to kind of respect that, the fact that the market is still mostly about the dollar and the Fed. So for now, you know, for our recommendations and our views, we're looking at, you know, what's priced in into the US curve. Obviously, a lot has been repriced. We think that there is some opportunities. Our US strategist put a new recommendation in terms of value at the front end of the curve. That obviously will help EM. But we're still very, very tactical. We think that, you know, relative value makes sense in a lot of cases.
You mentioned uninspiring growth. And I guess the big question is China. What is happening on the growth front there? We've seen some stimulus, but not enough, certainly, to get markets excited about China growth again.
Yeah, that's a good question. And it's been interesting, right? Because the latest China growth numbers are not particularly bad. In some cases, have actually been pretty decent. But even with that, we still have the policy reaction that over the last couple of weeks is leaning a little bit more, has not been a huge move, but certainly compared to the trend over the last couple of months, there is a difference in the way policymakers have allowed a little bit more of depreciation of the currency. And that's obviously affecting not just the regional Asian markets, but emerging markets as a whole, right? That it adds another dimension. And I think that the way to look at this is that in the broader set of emerging markets, given the fact that inflation in some cases is still elevated, that central banks have been doing what they can in terms of reducing interest rate, but there's still some pressure to deliver a little bit more growth. And I think that's essentially what's happening in China, right? It's a combination of a stimulus, but it's also letting the currency, given the fact that inflation is very low, provide a little bit of a relief. It's not going to make a huge difference for the growth trajectory, but a little bit more a willingness of policymakers to allow this to take place. And I think that that is important for a lot of other emerging markets that we see a little bit more of them going in that direction, and perhaps even allowing some of the inflationary pressures to come through. But given the appreciation levels that we've seen in some of the currencies, more willingness of policymakers broadly to allow some more help on the FX front. In your region, it has been a little bit different, right? And I think that's one of the questions that we're getting from a lot of clients. For instance, today we had the Polish rate decision. Why do you think places like Poland has been more reluctant to keep cutting than others, and how does that play into your views of FX in your region?
Yeah, so I think Poland is kind of more of an idiosyncratic story. So, everyone kind of expected National Bank of Poland to hold rates unchanged for the sixth consecutive meeting today, and they certainly delivered. This was actually despite inflation actually being below their target and significantly below. However, it was kind of clear that they consider this backward looking, that there is kind of fiscal changes. So VAT is going to be restored on food prices, and you also have a gradual phase out of energy price caps from the middle of this year. So there was a general consensus. This is a backward-looking print, but also there are kind of more deep-rooted inflationary concerns in Poland. So, nominal wage growth is still incredibly high. You've actually got, the very start of a domestic demand recovery coming back in Poland, which could really threaten, the progress they've made so far on bringing down inflation. And also political, you kind of can't get away from politics within this region. The central bank governor is actually being investigated by the new government over concerns that he kind of prematurely eased monetary policy in the run-up to an election. So we feel that the last thing he's going to do is going to act too rashly in terms of resuming that those rate cuts. So for us, I think Poland, the fact that monetary policy is on hold really stands out within the region and should see Poland really being a beneficiary of investment outflows from elsewhere in EM, where monetary easing cycles are continuing. So we are very bullish on Poland, and we're forecasting Euro PLN at 4.13 by the end of the year.
And how does that contrast with the other currencies in the region, Hungary and Czech? Do you think that there's still, some of these momentum will translate into them, or is it just the individual factors driving them?
Yeah, so, in contrast in Hungary and in Czech, you have considerable progress in terms of inflation. I would have to say the big difference is probably the labor market that you haven't seen, even though there was kind of initial concerns about elevated wage growth and the prospect of kind of wage price spirals, they haven't really translated into those risks. So I think the big difference there is the labor market, and you see central banks, kind of continuing with very fast-paced easing cycle. We did have Hungary reduce the pace of its easing cycle at its last meeting. As you say, I think currency concerns were kind of front and center there. But otherwise it feels like, progress has been made on disinflation, and central banks will continue to ease. And that should take away, some of that carry that have really been underpinning these EM currencies. I guess that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Currency Exchange. Alvaro, thank you so much for joining us this week. And if you did like the podcast, please do click like. And remember to subscribe to get the latest episode first. Thank you.